Even though America's military budget is bigger than the next 10 countries combined, that's apparently not enough for presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. The Republican presidential nominee recently said that America needs to grow its military and maintain it as an incomparable force of military domination in the world. So is the world really as unsafe as newly minted Mitt would have you think? We'll talk about this and more. Joins me now, Ed Krakowski. Sorry, I can't say that. Associate Director for Reason Magazine. Ed, what do you think about Mitt's recent speech where he says, you know, we need to keep growing the military and keep America strong, otherwise we're going to be subject to all these threats in the world?
Well, I think some of those threats come from a kind of blind growth of the military. But I think speaking to the point of Mitt Romney saying that increased defense spending would improve the economy, I don't think that flies. That's not going to fly unless he wants to start a land war. And I don't think anyone thinks Mitt Romney is going to go out there and start a land war. And my Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, said we can't start another land war anyway because we don't have the money to. And the money's not going to come from nowhere. And he knows this as a businessman, or at least he ought to. So I think what he's doing here is he's just trying to kind of make sure the base is with him, because it is difficult to portray President Obama as, quote unquote, weak on defense, at least from the way traditional mainstream Republicans look at it. So maybe this may be a sign that he thinks that he needs to kind of preemptively strike to get these people, to keep them on his side.
Interesting point about, yeah, I mean, some could argue that the country is actually going broke because of our defense spending, but that's for I wanted to ask you, do you think it's a false dichotomy? Mitt Romney is there presenting in San Diego saying, you know, if we cut defense to spend money on social services, our country is going to basically be completely weak. So we can't do that. And you hear people booing when he even mentions the fact about spending money on social services. Are you more libertarian minded? Where do you stand on that?
On
basically saying that we cannot spend money on social services, otherwise our country will be weak and broke.
I mean, we can't spend money, period. We're spending about twice as much as we bring in, so that number's got to come down. A lot of the Tea Party Republicans that got elected in 2010 admit that part of that number to go down is going to have to include defense spending. The idea that that social spending requires defense spending cuts, I think is kind of a false choice. And I think he's kind of doing that because it is kind of the easiest way to make it me versus Obama and kind of build a little distance between us. Because just last week in Foreign Policy, there was a article that explained how, making a very serious case, that Mitt Romney could fit well as Barack Obama's Secretary of State because their foreign policy is not really that different. And so this is, I think, a way for Mitt Romney to try to play that stereotypical, oh, the Democratic president's weak, more so than, I think he understands that there's not money there to spend more on defense that we're spending already. The cuts, the so-called cuts, aren't really cuts. Defense spending is still growing. It's just growing at a slower pace. So I think this is just a lot of hot air, and I don't know how much Mitt Romney even believes what it is that he said there in San Diego.
So what do you think should be done? You know, the Pentagon just keeps on growing exponentially, doubled since 9/11. What do you think that the government should do? Do you think that there's even a legitimate threat at all to deal with?
Well, yeah, there are definitely legitimate threats to deal with. I don't know if that's the threats that we're dealing with. I think for years now, what a lot of military experts from outside the establishment have said is that there needs to be a radical reorganization and reform of the military. I'd say you can look at that. I think there is a dollar of defense spending is not a dollar of defense strength. And I think that's the fallacy that we need to break out of if we're going to reform defense spending. Because there's this idea, and we saw this with the Mitt Romney speech in San Diego, that if we just spend more on defense, we'll be stronger. But as RT just reported, there's 33 F-1 Abrams tanks that Congress has ordered the Department of Defense to buy. Nobody wants them. That's not making us stronger. That's a jobs program. And frankly, the military is not a jobs program. And it's strange that Mitt Romney would kind of approach it as one.
What do you think, Ed, about, I mean, this choice that we're given between two war presidents, pretty much? One is saying that we should ramp up war more and more. I mean, who are you supporting?
I mean, I'm not sure yet, but there is Gary Johnson. He's the Libertarian nominee, and he tried briefly running as a Republican, and he's a little more tempered there. I think the problem is there's kind of been a bipartisan consensus that's formed since George Bush left where once President Obama adopted President Bush's foreign policy, it kind of no longer became a big deal for Democrats. I expect some of that will change if Mitt Romney, say, would get elected, because I think a lot of people are kind of holding their breath a little bit because they don't want to seem like they're talking against their president. But once it's Mitt Romney doing the drones and the kill list and all this, all of a sudden, hey, hold on, you know, the Fifth Amendment can be satisfied by the executive branch. Maybe all these people on the left who aren't saying much now about it will say more. Not that there's not people on the left saying things now, but the Democrats as an opposition party, maybe 4 years, 8 years from now, will feel a less warlike candidate, though I wouldn't really hold my hopes for it.
Well, how sad is that, that it has to be a different party for people to realize that these policies are wrong? I mean, why is it so normalized under Obama, and why were people so up in arms about pretty much the same policies under Bush?
I mean, I don't know. I think George Bush was a divisive president in kind of the same way, not divisive in terms of anything he might have done, not that he didn't do divisive things, but in terms of that he had a personality that some Americans loved and some Americans hated. And Barack Obama has a similar kind of personality. He just happens to be the people who loved George Bush hated Barack Obama. But at the end of the day, the American foreign policy establishment, there's a certain thing that needs to get done in terms of U.S. foreign policy, and that kind of stays the same from one party to the next. And I think mostly I think it's because, especially now, the economy being so high on people's minds, they're not really thinking about foreign policy. And as we're ramping down the level of troops in Afghanistan and Iraq and kind of waging more of these wars with drones and with new technology, it recedes even further from people's minds. And frankly, I think that's kind of why people aren't tuned into it, because it's not on the radar.
Isn't it? What do you think about it not being on the radar? I mean, it should be, right? I mean, here we are spending more and more. Mitt Romney's ramping up all these threats, and yet people seem to be totally detached with the fact that it's like the elephant in the room. I mean, no one's really talking about the astronomical defense spending in the light of this recession.
Sure, no one is, and I think it's unfortunate. And I think there was an opportunity that was missed in 2010 after some of these Tea Party congressmen came in who actually were saying we can take a look at defense spending, because nobody actually wanted to take them up on that offer. So the decisions to make on spending cuts are going to be hard, and that's just the way it's going to be. And voters aren't really tuned into those kind of foreign policy issues, maybe as much as they should be. And quote-unquote silent majority, we don't know. Maybe they are supportive of the fact that there is a bipartisan consensus.
Do you think that there's just a strong lobbying industry from the defense corporations to the congressmen? I mean, how come it just seems so obvious? I mean, here we go, you know, over 50% of our income taxes, over 50% of government spending is on bolstering up the defense. We already spend more than the next 10 countries combined. I mean, what do you think it is that's preventing them from really taking this on?
I think a lot of it is the military-industrial complex. I think it's a lot of it is the establishment, the military establishment. Look, for example, under these sequestration cuts, there's going to be something like 200,000 troops can get early discharges. A lot of these troops have already been laid off under sequestration. But if you look at that same sequestration, not a single top general has been laid off. So I think it is about the priorities. It's about what a lot of things in government are, and it's just that it's a great. And this is another gravy train, and it's a big gravy train. So there's a lot of people with a lot of money making sure that gravy train is going to keep going. But eventually, when the money runs out, there's no more track left, and there's nowhere for the gravy train to go.
Well, we'll definitely see when that point comes. Thanks for joining us. That was Ed Krajowski, Associate Editor for Reason Magazine.